I see myself as a kirtanwala. That's somebody who goes around and does kirtan. Kirtan is the chanting that I do, and it's primarily what they call the repetition of the divine names or the names of God, you know. It's very particular that way. It's not any mantra. It's very particular, these names. That's how I see myself, somebody who does that practice, which involves going around and singing with other people.
The New York Times has called him the chant master of American yoga. For more than 40 years, he's been a leader of the burgeoning New Kirtan movement, mixing ecstatic chant in Sanskrit from the Hindu tradition with modern instruments and a rock sensibility. And that's no surprise, because as a young Jewish kid growing up on Long Island off New York, he longed to be a rock star. And he almost was. The band that he joined as a teenager went on to be the very famous Blue Oyster Cult. But by that stage, in 1970, he'd already left for India to meet his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, the Hindu sage who's also influenced Ram Dass, Jai Utal, and a young Steve Jobs. One of the best-selling chant artists of all time, Krishna Dass has attracted stars like Sting and Madonna, but his music remains at heart a spiritual practice. As he says, a path for reaching God.
Anything you can say about it, you know, whether you want to call it devotional this or healing this, those are actually concepts that are more in the way of actually allowing something to happen. The practice is really simple, you know. We chant, and as soon as we notice that we're not paying attention, we come back to the chant. You kind of begin to see that we're just skimming on the surface of life, you know. And these chants are a way of actually trying to dive deeper into life and into our own hearts. And that, of course, is healing, and that, of course, evokes devotional responses from our own heart. But a lot of people talk a lot about, and when they do chant and do practices, they tell people what they're going to experience, or you have to believe something first in order to do it. But that's not the way I approach it, you know. We just do the practice, and people have their own experience, and if it's positive, they keep chanting. If it's not, they go back and watch TV.
Kirtan itself, though, does come from a specific tradition, the Bhakti yoga movement from India.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that you need to be along the bhakti path to get the full meaning of the experience?
What does that mean to you when you say the bhakti path?
The path of devotional singing to Hindu deities like Krishna or Hanuman and using that as a form of service to God.
Some people would approach it that way. I know I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but that's not the way I approach it. First of all, I don't see these beings as primarily Hindu deities. Because what does that mean when we say Hindu deities? Does that mean that only in that religion you worshiped those deities and that's the way you get something? And are those deities only for people, only real to people in that religion? I don't think so. I think those are beings in this universe that have certain functions. And when we align ourselves with those energies, many wonderful things can happen for us. My guru never initiated us into Hinduism. He never asked us to be anything other than what we already are. And so when I go around and sing, I really like to keep it as open as possible. I don't even put a picture of my own guru there because I don't want people to say, oh, I'm not going to sing to that guy. I have my own guru. See, it's not about that. It's about finding that place in our own hearts. And these deities or these beings are doorways into that. I'm not a Hindu, and I don't expect other people to be Hindus. I like to try to find out what it means to be a human being. And then after that, I'll let you know what's happening.
The New York Times calls you the Chant Master of American Yoga. Quite a big title. How does that sit with you?
It just shows what they don't know, you know. I mean, I don't think of anything like that. I just sing. I travel and chant. Titles are for people that think about themselves a lot. I was in a band for a while, but I was just too crazy to stay with it. And then they went on to become pretty famous in the 70s and 80s. But I was long gone. The Blue Oyster Cult was the name of the band. So I was saved from myself by grace. Because if I had gone back to the band, I would be dead a long time ago. That's no question about that. I had so many destructive tendencies, and that would have fed them all. I was prevented from doing that, which was a great thing. And now look at what I do, right? It's almost the same thing, except it's in the service of love and not in the service of ego, you might say. A lot more people are chanting now, I think, listening and leading chanting, and people see it as something to do, which before nobody had heard of this practice. So I think it's good, but it isn't about music, you know. And people should try to understand that a lot of the way it's approached these days it's as a musical experience with a few mantras thrown over the music. But it's not really that at all. The music, if a kid is sick and he has to take medicine, you have to hide that medicine in a sweet syrup. So in this case, the music is the syrup, and you get a pleasure from that sweetness. But the medicine, what's going to cure you of your disease, which is our suffering and our unhappiness, is the name. The name is a practice that's been done for thousands of years. In every tradition, repetition of the names of God have been done. And anyone can do it. Because these are the names of our own true nature. They're not the names of something up in the sky outside of ourselves. These are the names of our real being, who we are. So no matter what names you call, you're moving deeper into your own heart. So I think that's something people have to keep in mind, and that it's a spiritual practice. It's not a musical expression. Sure, the music is good. Hopefully, people enjoy the music. But if music was enough, every musician would be happy. And that ain't the case.
My foolish heart, why do you weep? You throw yourself away again. Now you cry yourself to sleep. Cry yourself to sleep.